On the meeting to order. So today we're going to talk about the budgets for safety, district attorney, public defender, and sheriff's office in that order. So for safety, we have Diane, who I believe, you're by. So basically the way we've been doing it is to ask you to first start with 2020 and talk to us about any impacts on your department from COVID and any items that were budgeted in 2020 that were not expended or were halted or somehow impacted that didn't go through that you thought was, you know, you were hoping in 2019 what was happening in 2020. And then for 2021, if you could tell us if there were any elements that you had originally hoped to budget for or budgeted for, requested, that did not make it into the final budget. Okay?
Okay. So for 2020, the COVID, that effect, I mean, we continued through the whole COVID because of the nature of our business being in safety. It really didn't stop what we actually do. It did delay, like fire drills, we put them on hold. Our inspections slowed down a little bit, but we continued them. We've now since have restarted the fire drills little by little, trying to, you know, along with the COVID regulations, trying to fit that in to get everybody comfortable with it. We've continued with all our badge issuing, all our building codes, that continued through it. Drug and alcohol is a federal program, that continued through the whole thing. The county policy ones, we delayed them a little bit. So we didn't have anything that was taken out of our budget or that we weren't able to do in 2020. And we've since started up at all our training programs that we do that are required by state and federal guidelines. We're doing it differently. Obviously, with the COVID, we're doing it in different ways and adapting to new ways of doing it. But taking a little bit longer because we have smaller groups. We didn't have anything taken out of our 2021 budget that we asked for. We ourselves had delayed a little bit of stuff that we tried to push off. We'll push off till 2021 as far as testing equipment, but nothing that we couldn't adapt to for next year to try to help with the funding issues that we've had. But we've tried to cover all the mandated programs and services, including, you know, we've did a lot more with respiratory programs, of course, doing that type of stuff this year. That increased. We've dealt a lot with cleaning supplies and chemicals. But other than that, nothing has really changed as far as what we do or was impacted.
Thanks. So the federal, on any of your federal funding, none of that was reduced? You were able to have...
We don't get federal funding or state funding. We're total county funded.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you said there was some federal program that went through your...
We do drug and alcohol, which is a federal regulated programs, but right. They don't pay for it. We do.
And anyone take the early retirement?
No.
I wrote a note to myself and I don't know what I meant. I wrote reimburse. Oh, and maybe this is for John or... But are any elements, since you saw, you know, a lot of hand sanitizers and other things like that, is any of that potentially FEMA reimbursable?
That's not out of my budget. So, John, I'll refer that to you.
But most of the FEMA reimbursable items that we've been using in the county have gone through emergency services, and Steve, he's been managing.
Right. I'm just wondering if any of the items that go through safety are potentially FEMA reimbursable.
No, because our programs we're on the infrastructure, so we do employee safety, so there really wasn't anything that went through my budget that we supplied. It was all supplied through emergency management.
I see. So you got the hand sanitizers from emergency management. You just helped distribute them.
Right. We got it from them, yes.
I see. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You were sourcing it from them. I thought you were perhaps getting them. All right. Other legislators, do you have any questions for... safety?
I have a question. Your budget is, I suppose, a collaborative effort between you and the executive's office. Is that correct?
What do you mean a collaborative effort?
Well, you present to the executive people what you think you need to operate your office, your job.
Sure. Yes.
And they develop it and come back to you. And so you're not here at this meeting asking for something that's been eviscerated or taken out of your budget or asking for more money, anything like that?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Any other questions? All right, let me just check what the chat was. Oh, the chat is about content. Okay. Terrific. Well, thank you. Good to hear from you. And next we have the district attorney's office. So Dave, again, the same parameters, how COVID impacted you, elements that were supposed to be funded in 2020 that had been approved that didn't come to be, and then anything that you had presented to the executive's office that you had hoped to have for 2021 that they had decided to exclude from your budget that you might want to advocate for us to consider.
Sure. So, the COVID did have a tremendous effect on my office. Starting in January, we were understaffed significantly. We had six different ADA positions that were unfilled. Can you folks hear me all right?
Yep.
Yes.
So that we were not able to fill all those positions before the COVID hit. And we there was a freeze on hiring. So we were continued to be understaffed. We had one receptionist and a secretary that left the office during COVID and retired. We also had one person resign during that period of time and another person who did not come back from maternity leave. So throughout the year, we've not spent a good deal of what had been budgeted for my office. And a good part of the reasoning for that is that courts have been closed since March. And so we have been unable to have jury trials. We've been unable to move cases. We have a backlog of over 1,000 cases right now due to COVID. We didn't expend money this year on things like appeals transcripts and professionals, trial costs, and things of that nature. Whereas next year, it's all going to double up, assuming at some point we have the ability to do jury trials. So what we didn't do this year is going to hit us hard next year. So when we submitted our budget, we did our best to hold off on some personnel positions that we desperately need, but nevertheless, we're trying to work with the budgetary constraints of the county. We right now still do not have a receptionist. We are still down a secretary. We're still down a paralegal. And those are positions that were needed in order to comply with the new discovery law. One of the things I want you all to know is with the new discovery law, we've added about 15 to 20% to the workload of every ADA here. Dutchess County got an extra $640,000 to deal with discovery. We've gotten something in the area of $60,000. So we're about one-tenth of what they got to deal with the same problem. With COVID hitting, obviously I worked and overstressed right now. So one of the things going forward, at some point we need to get a receptionist for our office. It's really unwieldy for that to be the case, that we have to shift answering phones between the three different secretaries that we have available to us right now. But beyond that, for next year, we have, we've thankfully about to be fully staffed, at least in terms of what we're supposed to start with in January for ADAs, and that's going to be a help.
So I'm sorry, when you said the money, compared the money that Dutchess got to deal with discovery and Ulster got to deal with discovery, that's county money or otherwise?
Yes, it was county money. Yeah, and the state has not provided. It's not been funded through the state that I know of.
Okay.
But yes, they had county money of $640,000 for a request to deal with their discovery demands. And we got one paralegal position filled. With an investigator, by the way.
So what was, how much did we, you get for towards discovery? I'm sorry.
I think that discovery was $52,000. That was the amount of money allotted to it.
And are you saying that having this, so there's one administrative support person who did not show up on the 2021 budget that you're saying you need?
Well, the one thing is fairly urgent, and I know I said I would wait and I will wait, but it is very difficult to work without a receptionist for our office. And it's just inconvenient at every level, and makes our professional exposure to the public more difficult because we have different people covering the phones at different times. So that's just something that as I'm working through it, as we have no receptionist, I'm looking at the consequences of that.
And then how about the managing the discovery? Will you feel like you'll be set up in 2021 to fully manage the discovery needs of the department? Sorry, you froze. So,
you know, we only manage it by asking everybody to work. Yeah. We manage it by asking everybody to work, an extra 20 hours a week above and beyond the 35 hours they're supposed to work. Right now, that's the only way we manage it. When we get the other paralegal position that was supposed to aid us for dealing with discovery, that will be a help. Honestly, as I said in my report to the on the budget, it was underfunded to begin with. Getting only two paralegals for the extra work was not enough. We actually should have gotten two more ADAs, a secretary, and a paralegal. But the request was only for two paralegals, and that's what was in the budget for 2020. So even though those are needs we have, we're going to try and work with what we have, but there is, at some point in time, we're going to need more help in this office.
Legislator Haynes?
Forgive me, because I would just like to start by saying this budget is hard to follow because I have nothing to base off of last year's numbers without actually picking up the book and looking through it. Well, kind of. That's actually not totally true, but kind of. But nonetheless, I see there is a receptionist line in here. Did you request it this year? I'm a little bit confused. Did you request one? Because there's nothing allocated. But where? I'm confused about that.
Okay, so we agreed to hold off on hiring, replacing our receptionist, and hiring the paralegal that we never got to hire to help us with discovery. That was our discussion with the county executive. You're asking me now, is there anything that we could use desperately? Yes, there is. And so that's the answer, that those positions, the receptionist right now is something, as you can imagine, is a difficulty not having one. And so as I'm working through it without a receptionist for the last month, I'm seeing how difficult that is for the office.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Sure.
Other legislators?
Well, I'd just like to ask the DA. I mean, I understand it's difficult. Are you asking us for $20,000 or $50,000 or $75,000 to add the receptionist now, or are you going to try to figure out how to do it?
I would ask you to do that. I don't think it's, I think the receptionist, I forget what the starting salary is. The one thing is, what is it?
$38,679. Unless I'm looking at part, that's what it looks like on the line. Unless I'm looking at the wrong number.
I think he's frozen.
Right.
Either that or he's shocked.
Plus whatever the cost of benefits and retirement might be.
Right, honestly, what I mean is you work with the executive and his folks to present this, and it says published pretty much. You're not asking for anything right this minute. You'll do what you can.
Well, it sounds like he does want, he does need this.
Go ahead.
I think he's
I'm sorry, John, you're breaking up on my end.
Yeah, that's a problem out here. That's a problem out here in hillbilly heaven, there, Mr. DA. I said, in other words, you, you created this budget with the executive's office. He understands you may need this position filled somewhere down the road.
Yes.
And you'll do with it what you have to until you can't.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
But I'm sorry, just to clarify, but you suggested it's a hardship to manage without this position.
It's definitely a hardship. It would definitely make my office operate more efficiently, both in our contact with the public and professionally with other attorneys, if we could have a receptionist. And it would aid in the secretaries that we do have, who have to do the additional work also with discovery, that they would not have to sit on the phone one day a week to cover the phones. It's an inefficiency at every level, I have to say.
Other legislators, any questions? All right, anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you do. Okay, next we have the Public Defender's Office. Just getting a fresh piece of paper.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you just clarify, what's your position at the office?
I'm a full-time felony staff attorney at the office. So I do want to say Mr. Owens last minute couldn't make this and asked me to sit in. I was unaware this was a budget meeting, and so I had no particular information I was asked to give to you, but there are at least three areas I can talk about just from being in the office. So I'm not fluid in the budget itself. I can talk to you in areas where we are very much impacted by COVID and by the discovery issues, and I've got certain positions that we really need to have filled immediately. So I would agree with the district attorney that we were obviously tremendously impacted by COVID. Our office is on staggered schedules, So we're trying to do everything we can to deal with this dramatic increase in cases that we've recently encountered. We have a fairly small office for a public defender's office, I have to say. I will say with COVID, I don't know when we're going to start up with trials again. So obviously whatever was budgeted for 2020 with regard to trial work, investigation work, expert witnesses, anything of the like, obviously that was put on hold for COVID and is going to probably triple or quadruple once we start again. I know Chief Judge DiFiore seems to be pushing for us to start trials again, but I will say there are some problems with that because COVID is obviously still rampant. From an ethical perspective, it's hard for us to do investigations, which are critical for us to do in order to supply meaningful representation of counsel, because obviously it puts us in danger, or an investigator in danger, to go to people's homes. And more importantly, no witness really wants to have contact with us because of COVID. So this has put us at a very serious disadvantage with being able to adequately prepare cases. About a month ago, the grand jury started up, and things have gone from about zero to 180 almost overnight for us, because we're trying to deal with not just cases as they would normally flow into the public defender's office, but now I think us and the district attorney's office alike are trying to deal with this entire backlog of cases that have just been building up since the pandemic began. And that has caused an enormous amount of stress for the lawyers who are in the office, the full-time lawyers who handle these ongoing cases. And the criminal side, we basically have, I think it's five lawyers who are full-time. I would say most of the lawyers have caseloads that so far exceed what the appellate division case cap recommends, that it's very, very, very troubling. And that's, again, because really in the past month, we've gone again from zero to about 180 with trying to get through this entire backlog of cases. But of course, not all of them will be disposed of, and many of them will be heading towards trial. Oh, my goodness. it may be heading towards trial. So, I mean, honestly, some of the lawyers, full-time lawyers, have probably 3 times, maybe even 4 times, the recommended caseload cap that the appellate division would set for lawyers. As far as lawyers that have come and go, we obviously lost our chief public defender just at the time, just before the pandemic started. And obviously we're in the process waiting for to see about the confirmation of the new candidate. And that will be very helpful once we get somebody who's in charge. As far as I'm aware, we have had approval for some assistance, which we really need right now since the caseloads again have started up in such a major way. And I think whether it's through HH or through the county funding, there's at least, I think, 2 felony lawyers that have been approved. But because we're in this position without a chief public defender, it's just stagnated and nothing has been moved on. We did get 1 replacement lawyer. We did lose a lawyer who was our lawyer who did arraignments in all of the local courts Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Not the CASA lawyers for the nighttime, but this is the daytime weekday lawyer. And she had to leave. It was unforeseen. It was very quick. And we did get approval to fill her position. That just happened, I think, 2 weeks ago. The other position we got approved is a new appeals lawyer, because we were being assigned appeals and there was no one to do them. So that was very welcome that that person got approved. But again, we have this enormous increase in cases all of a sudden to a much greater level than we normally would have had cases come into the office. And we are desperately in need of, I would say, at least 2 other felony lawyers that I believe have been approved. Probably we could use 3. And we're sort of in limbo with that. And that's caused, I think, significant problem for our office. The other issue is discovery. We're all aware that the discovery laws have greatly increased the amount of discovery that we are getting on cases and that we are getting early on cases. And we do not have a proper computerized system in order to help us deal with that. So we've been trying with the aid of one of our paralegals, who has been enormously helpful. She's sort of creating a system for us to help us deal with this, but she's already doing that job plus her own job. She cannot also input all of the discovery. We are beyond desperate for the need of, whether it's a paralegal or a legal aid, however it's characterized here, we are desperately in need of people to come in, not today, not tomorrow, but months ago, in order to help with the inputting of the discovery material that we are getting. It's almost impossible to keep track of it. I would note that this same paralegal is helping us create a system that will track our cases better as they come into the office and as they are reassigned. So she's really doing 3 jobs, and that's Kathy Schutz. But that is a problem as well, because for some reason we're not connected in Ulster County, but for Kingston City Court, we are not connected to the OCA web crim system, which virtually all of the state is connected to. If we had that connection, we could easily find out not just adjourn dates, but just an enormous amount of information that we need in order to track our cases and so much more that we can do with it. So we're trying to create this system through a paralegal that is just, she's somebody who we absolutely could not do without in our office, but she needs help. She needs help with 1 or 2 people, and she needs that yesterday. So I guess that's what I can add to our budgetary issues at the moment. And thank you for hearing me.
Thanks. So we may have some follow-up questions. You talked about that there were 2 felony lawyers that were approved and it was stagnated. And then you also talked about, sorry, what?
Sorry, so I may have been unclear. So no, our office is staggered in our appearances. So in the office, in other words, we don't all come in full time. We were directed to come in.
Sorry, I didn't mean staggered. That there were two felony lawyers that had been approved but never filled.
I believe that's correct. I believe one is through HH, the Harrell Harring funding, and I think there was one for county as well. I could be wrong about that because, again, I was just asked to step into this meeting unaware of what it was. But I'm aware at least one of those is approved, and I think there might be two positions for this year, but things have been held off because we don't have – but we haven't had a person approved yet in the confirmation process. And it was, I guess, thought to leave it until potentially she comes in as our public defender.
Ask another question related to that, though, before you.
Yes.
You said that you were approved to fill an arraignment officer and an appeals, arraignment lawyer and a daytime arraignment and appeals lawyer. When you said that, does that mean those were actually filled? Like there are people in
those positions? Two positions were allowed to be filled. That was urgent. We needed the appeals person. We needed the person to substitute for the person who had to leave the office unexpectedly.
Sorry.
It was unforeseeable thing. It was a last minute thing.
Great. Yeah. I don't want to clarify the approved but not filled versus the approved and filled. That's
So those two positions are approved and filled, the appeals and the person who does the daytime arraignments throughout Ulster County. But I do believe there was financial approval. I think one at least through HH, and I don't know the funding source for the other person. I think there was funding for two. I could be wrong about that, but certainly one, and I think two. And because of the increase of cases right now, we are desperately in need of them. As I said, a significant amount. I'm aware from where I came from before. I was from New York City at the Legal Aid Society. So I am aware of the conversation around case caps and many of the permanent felony attorneys in our office. And again, there's, I think, four or five of us total who are permanent, are significantly beyond what the case cap requirement would be. I'm not suggesting that the Ulster County Public Defender has a contract that includes case caps, but I am familiar with what the general case cap numbers should be. And a lot of the lawyers here have far in excess of that because, again, all of a sudden, a month ago, the entire backlog for a year of cases is sort of coming due.
So do you think that will level off, or do you expect this to be continuous for the year?
For this year, certainly it's going to continue like this. I mean, there's a lot of cases. I don't have the number for you, but there's an extreme amount of cases. And I don't believe it's going to level off this year. And I'm not convinced it's going to level off by the end of next year, but probably by the end of next year, it will level off.
Okay.
So
Bert, for these felony attorneys, especially at least one of them is covered through Harrell Harring, if not both of them. Can you help us understand why these positions, because they're fully reimbursable, why they weren't filled?
Eve, can you hear me? I don't know if I'm on mute.
We can hear you.
Okay. I'm looking at any requests to fills I have. I don't have any for any assistant public defenders.
Okay.
The only request to fill I have is for a legal aid. That's the only request I have to fill.
All right.
Well, that was the other thing I was talking about regarding somebody to do inputting of discovery.
We're hearing that there is the need for two felony attorneys, and wouldn't both of them be able to be reimbursable through Harrell Harring?
Eve, I'd have to check to see, you know, everything's done by position numbers to see what position numbers match with the Harrell Harring. Obviously we can claim for it. It's just, I don't have the request in terms of the process request to fills to approve these positions to move forward.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. I guess Stephanie understood that they were requested and approved already, but maybe that's not correct. Do you know if in the, since Stephanie can't speak to it, if in the 2021 budget, this gap of especially the felony attorneys, especially who are reimbursable by Harrell Herring, whether they show up in the 2021?
Just give me 1 second, Eve, because I know in the 2020 budget, we did have a couple of, added a couple of public defender positions. They were to start, you know, like staggered, one with a July date and one with, I think, a September. Those positions have carried over into the 2021 budget.
But they have, so you did have two positions approved that just didn't get filled in July and September.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I'm just double checking. I have a list right in front of me, and this is as of October 1st, in terms of vacant positions in the PD's office. One is a chief assistant PD, which I believe is Harrell Herring funded. If you just bear with me here, I just joined this meeting late, and I'm just trying to bring up.
And I apologize, folks. No, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Why don't you, while you look at it,
I have it now, Eve. I just needed to bring up what positions are in Harrell Herring, and like I said, I'm just trying to match the position numbers. So the one is a chief assistant public defender that is vacant. That is 100% funded by Harrell Herring. That is one that is vacant as of it's been vacant almost all year since February. I do not have a request to fill that. Let's see. There's also another assistant public defender, which was vacant as of July 1st, which that is also 100% filled, funded by Harrell Herring. Same stuff. I don't have a request to fill from the public defender's office to approve.
So Cliff needs to just say, please fill.
They just need to fill out the paperwork to get to myself, and then it would go to the county exec's office.
All right, Stephanie, can you pass it on?
Because I can. Let me just go. Yeah.
They're both 100% reimbursable.
Yeah.
Okay, I absolutely will. Let me just say, as the chief assistant public defender, obviously we're waiting for a chief public defender to be approved.
Yeah.
Cliff, obviously, was the assistant chief public defender, and has been doing double duty on everything.
And I think he'd fall back to that position, Stephanie.
He would fall back to that position, exactly. So that's why I wasn't referring to that. I didn't know if it was technically...
And there is another, it's called a deputy chief assistant public defender that we did fund for a part of, it looks like half of this year. That is vacant as well. So again, okay. Cliff would fill, you know, if the... chief public defender is filled, Cliff would fill in one of these, and then there's still an assistant PD as well as this deputy chief PD.
And Kurt, since we were able to get Office of Indigent Legal Services reimbursal on their other grants for office space, would the computer system that Stephanie talked about, or a connection to OCA, or some kind of discovery computer system that assisting public defenders in their capacity to meet the needs of indigent people, would that be potentially?
I think it could, Eve. I'd have to go back and look at the plan that was approved by the state to see if we have it in there. Obviously, if we don't, we could always amend that plan to get approval for it.
Okay, let me just clarify that the OCA system is a very different system than what we would internally need to process discovery.
Right.
Yeah, I understand. I was wondering if both either of them would be potentially fully reimbursable. It seems like there's a lot of potential state money that we could be using in our public defender's office that we're not using.
There is. It would just be, you know, Eve, I'd have to check to see if we, I don't think we have it in there to kind of purchase, but as one of those, we can definitely amend it with the state to get reimbursed.
Legislator Haynes, did you want to ask a question? Any other legislator?
Yeah, I do. Just over and above the litany on the operation of the office and the efficiencies, is the budget that has been presented that I was looking at, the budget for next year or the conversations we're having right now going to be in addition to that money? And I get the impression from listening to Bert that most of these things are already in the budget.
Well, some of them
Sorry. I'm not really able to address that. Maybe Bert's more aware.
I will say, John, they are for, you know, they are carried over into 2021. And actually, there is one other new position in the public defender's office for a legal aid to help on the secretarial side of things. And that was covered by Hurl Herring as well.
Okay, that's great.
Okay. I don't know if this is appropriate at all. Could I raise, since I have all of you and it's a budgetary issue, and it has to do with, can I raise something that's not about the public defender's office, but has to do with one of the police reform committees that I'm on? And it's something that I think that all of the local police reform committees may be dealing with. Or is that inappropriate to do right here?
Sure, go ahead. Assuming it's not gonna take a very long time because we need to get to the sheriff's budget.
No, it's not gonna take a long time at all. But there are two things that I know that our committee in Marlboro, and I'm sure all the other local committees, are having problems with financially because they're small police departments. And the most important thing is, number one, the money that it costs for body cam, not just the equipment to have body cams, but the storage. It's an excessive amount for most of the local police departments, but it's critical that they get funded for having full body cams, audio and video. I know some of the police departments have audio and their video is tied to a dash cam, and that's kind of really somewhat useless. But I know something like Marlboro, they can't even do the body cams. It's just cost prohibitive. And the other thing is for some training, obviously the implicit bias training is an enormous thing that we're looking at, and we have to get funding for all of the police departments really to be able to have all of their officers attend that. But the real financial crusher is the body cam storage. So I didn't know if there was something that the county could do en masse for all of the local police departments, because I'm sure everyone is encountering the same problem.
I appreciate you bringing that up. I mean, obviously the equipment themselves would be coming from the individual town budgets, but there might be some kind of shared storage system that
yeah.
can be explored. Legislator Haynes and I are both co-chairs of this committee, so we'll make sure that that comes up. It's not necessarily going to be tied into this budget, but that we will
yeah. put in
that conversation and we'll try to figure out. And I think if, you know, a conversation, letting the sheriff know, they do run implicit bias through the sheriff's office for sheriff law enforcement. Maybe there's another kind of shared process that could be explored as well at another time. But thank you for bringing it.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Sheriff, it's all you. So you know the list, COVID, stuff that you were hoping for in 2020 that never got followed through with, and requests for 2021 that were not in the budget that you feel you need, want to make, you know.
So good evening, everyone. And I hope all is well. So our COVID expenditures were about $52,825 for the office. It's been a unique year. As you know, this is a 24/7 operation. And we've given back because of the budget constraints that COVID has caused the county, $487,194.10. And majority of that are equipment expenditures that are actually 65% of our equipment for this year. And again, these are things that we really didn't have a lot of. We all had to take a bite out of the budget crunch that the county was looking at. On the positive side, we'd had board-ins, and to date, we've with the marshals and Greene County is back. Our numbers are pretty close to almost $454,000. And it's estimated that this continues to almost $800,000 that of revenues that we're bringing in to the county from the board ends.
That's a year?
Of course.
Sorry. You're saying that's your projection for a full 12 months?
By the end of this year, we should be, the revenue should be for the board ends around $800,000. But I did want to talk about the personnel issues for this year. Again, the county put out a retirement incentive, and a lot of folks did retire, and we saved the county just this year about $1.2 million in salaries. A lot of these positions, I'm in coordination with the county to get some of these back. They're in the budget and budgeted for 2021. As you know, we made an agreement with the county in regards to the county jail, and our numbers were 157, and the agreement is to go to 147, and you know, it takes 4 months for backgrounds and another couple months for the academy, so it takes an individual on the correction side about 6 months before they're actually deployed. So we agreed with the county to lower our numbers from 157 to 147. Our numbers from the jail when I took office were about 240 for the population. When bail reform passed, bail reform one in April, those numbers went down to about 190. And in January, they went down to about 110. We went as low as 99 at one point. Presently, we have about 180 in the facility. About 50 of those are board ends, and 130 or so are our own inmates. So those numbers have been slowly going up. The courts have finally begun to open. I don't think they're fully opened and have sentenced. Everything was on hold because of COVID-19. Again, this is a 24/7 operation, and we gave back a lot of money because of the budget issue. But we've also anticipated some of those costs that are still included in the 2021 budget. We did have a hiring freeze like everybody else, even though we are essential, again, because of the budget issues and the sales tax issues for the county and COVID-19. But we overall are 10% of the overall county budget. So I'm happy to say that we're going to we are going to have some revenues coming in, and the finance department did add some of that for next year's budget, which we weren't sure what the numbers were going to be, but I know that Bert went in and adjusted that. So thanks, Bert. Personnel wise, we're down about 28 for the jail, but we're going to bring that back up to, like I said, to 147 at some point next year. We were allowed to hire two people this year and do some promotions, which helps with the supervising of the facility, which is very important. On the criminal division side, we're going to be down about 14 on that side. That's to include the security folks that are retiring, folks like Pat Carroll that work at the county building, and Dave Mead, who is the senior security guard. There is one request for next year that I wanted to add, and I don't know if Bert, you know, but I did talk to Sherry, and I briefly talked to the county executive's office about it today. And as long as we can stay within our budget by giving up or moving monies from part-time security guards and a clerk, we want to bring in what's called a discovery coordinator. Interestingly enough, we are all under the constraints of discovery, including the sheriff's office. To the earlier question that the public defender's office stated about law enforcement, we had to actually pay or purchase computers that were about $8,000 for the purposes of discovery. And that is your body cam, your cameras on the vehicles, 911 calls. It's a huge undertaking. And to utilize a uniformed personnel for the purposes of that type of clerical work, to me, is a disservice to the taxpayer and public safety itself. So we're requesting a discovery coordinator for next year's budget. And again, Bert, I don't know if you knew about that. It was something I put the specs together and sent it over to Sherry just earlier this week, and I spoke to John Milgram as early as today about it. But it's
we lost Bert. He had to scoot.
Sorry. Say again? Okay.
Bert lost Bert. He had to scoot.
Well, I know John is still on, but we did talk to him about that. As far as things that we that were removed from the capital budget, the capital projects budget, our number one thing is Black Creek. And Chris Howe, if you're still on, I want you to brief how old Black Creek is and the issues that we've been having. Black Creek is our entire security program at the jail and in the facility. Chris, are you on?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Chris Howe from the Sheriff's Office. One of my main responsibilities with the Sheriff's Office is to maintain the electronic security system surrounding the jail law enforcement center, to include all the doors, all the intercoms, all the cameras, lighting, telephones, televisions, all the security that has to do with a correctional facility. A lot of that was installed when we built the facility 2005, 2007. Partial systems upgrade, computer systems in 2011, and we're about due to have that done again. What I'm dealing with is when something does go down, I'm finding that the people that produce the parts don't produce them anymore and don't have any more on the shelf to replace with. So I'm losing parts of this electronic security system, which causes a security concern for not only the staff, but the population of inmates within the facility. I fear that the longer we delay a partial upgrade, the more costly it's going to be. We're still dealing with some Windows 7, Windows Vista, older operating systems. There are some analog solid state rack systems that are just so antiquated that I can't find parts for it anymore. And, you know, I would love to be able to just do some little bitty partial systems upgrades here and there, but it doesn't work that way because the system is, or part of that system is so antiquated. We're just to that point where, you know, we've got to get over the bridge and get some of this back into, you know, the 2020 technology versus what we're working with, you know, some of this stuff again is, you know, some of the cameras, intercoms, security systems have been, you know, up and running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, since 2006, just before we opened the facility.
And this is 2 years in a row that we put in for an upgrade to the Black Creek system and program. It was initially put in place in 2006, and it was last upgraded in 2011. I was just walking through the jail yesterday, and there's cameras that are constantly going off, and there are a lot of issues every weekend. Where Chris has to come in and patch it and fix it with what we have. And just like a lot of the things in this building, the infrastructure needs replacement. And I'm going to let Chris finish up on Black Creek and the importance of Black Creek, but I also want to talk about the kitchen that was also taken off of the budget. I believe if you listen to what Chris is saying and what I'm saying, either you pay now or you're going to pay later. And you're going to pay later, it's going to cost you more. And I think identifying these issues and getting them fixed and upgraded now is going to save the taxpayer money in the future. But Chris, finish up with what you were saying.
Yeah, I'm concerned only, you know, I'm pretty good at what I do when it comes to fixing stuff in there. And I've cannibalized a bunch of different older parts to make one part work partially for a little while. I'm running into the issues now where I don't have parts to cannibalize. I can't get things to work only because the newer stuff that would be provided to take that equipment's place is not compatible with the older systems, the analog and the solid state rack systems that we have. There's, it's, you know, more of an engineering thing that, you know, one system doesn't talk to the other because it's a little too old to do that. I guess, you know, the analogy is if you bought a computer in 2007, put it on the living room table, turned it on and left it on and played games on it every other day or so, how long would that computer last? Would you expect it to last the 14 years that the facility's been up and running and still be running on the technology of today versus 2007? That's the issue we're sort of running into. And it's a security concern. We've got an inmate population that we're deemed to keep inside the facility and safe and secure. And of course our staff is in there also, but we could use keys, but in an emergency, that's definitely a security issue.
And we're talking about the opening and closing of all the doors in the facility. We're talking about the cameras being able to zoom in when there's an assault, which occurs, once in a blue moon around here. And it also, you're talking about one corrections officer that's watching about 38 individuals in a pod with our direct supervision system. Every single camera, every single gate, the control rooms, when the local police department is bringing folks into the Sally Port, and the camera systems, every single one of those systems is what we're talking about here. And we're talking about potential liabilities if these systems shut down as well. If something were to happen within the facility and it's not up and running, it's our responsibility, not only to the population inside the jail, but to their families that are out there. We're, it's in the care of the sheriff. And the sheriff works for the people of the county in Ulster County.
So is Black Creek what is Black Creek? I'm not clear, Chris,
Black Creek is the systems integrator. They are the company that furnished the original electronic security system for the facility.
And do you have an estimate of what this, two questions. Do you have like the perfect, if you were to fix it as perfectly as you'd love to, and is there anything in the middle?
I think what was put in the budget as a proposal was in the middle, enough to get us over the hump and upgrade enough of the systems to keep us in a pretty good spot so that, again, we could look in another 4 years or another 5 years to, do another partial upgrade. And I think at this point it was in the 630,000 range was the estimate or the proposal from the Black Creek folks.
Is that still in the budget? Sheriff?
It was taken out.
It was taken out.
Of capital projects so, 2 years in a row.
So
let you know, the annual cost to keep this the Band-Aid going, it's about $57,000 a year. If we do the upgrade, we're talking about $20,000 a year for maintenance up rather than the $56,000 that we've been putting in every year here.
So if I might, Madam Chair, so this would be your wish list. It's not in your budget right now.
That is correct.
That's an interesting, and I know your sidekick there, Chris Howe, is right on with his numbers. So, all right. So you're talking $750,000. All right, great. Thank you, sir.
Any questions on Black Creek?
Well, I do actually, and I think I know the answer, but we just had there was all of those desktop computers.
That's a separate issue.
Does that have anything to do with this system?
It does have a small amount to do. I have my expert, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but it does have has something to do with that as well.
So is some of that 630,000 going to be covered in those desktop computers?
Not really, but some of the program upgrades will be.
Okay.
But I'll kind of spell that out to you when I switch over to that in a minute.
Sure.
And the next issue, of course, is the kitchen. We have a dishwasher that sanitizes a lot of the stuff that's being utilized so there's no spread of germs within the facility, and that we make sure that everything's clean. That particular piece of equipment, is obsolete, and it was like $250,000 when initially they purchased it. Every year they're spending about $20,000 to fix something wrong with it. Just today it broke down again. And when they come in to look at it, it's a minimum of $2,000 to $3,000 just to get somebody out to look at that. And the, you know, again, this stuff's been in service for over 14 years, and it's gonna, you're talking about a kitchen that's running 24/7, three meals a day. In some instances, right now it's 180 meals per breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So at some point, and I realize that the budget isn't gonna be able to do that, that my priority would obviously be Black Creek, but I wanna make you aware about the issues that we're having with the infrastructure in the building to include the kitchen. And I want to shift over to, I know that there was a conversation yesterday about the computers. How can the sheriff's office have 125 computers? And that's actually part of the IS budget. They're responsible for the county's upgrade of computers. But we actually have 217 computers here at our facility. We're only upgrading 125. And I'm going to turn this over now to our IS representative, Frank Dart, who explained to you about the issues of our computers and the upgrade problems that we're looking at.
And that's Junior for some of you that have been around for a while, just in case. So out of those ones that we are, you know, looking to have replaced, a good portion of our desktops are very, very old. I mean, as far as things go. I mean, now generally, I know IS tends to, with the county, tries to keep them, you know, in stock with PCs that are still under warranty, and they traditionally get a 5-year warranty under those PCs. Right now, out of the approximately 217 PCs that we have, we've got 106 of them are already out of warranty because they are, you know, more than 5 years old. We've got another 36 that are, you know, either out of warranty this year or will be probably by the end of the year. About another 20 or so that are with the Black Creek system. And then we have about 53 PCs that are still under warranty. And as far as those PCs that are out of warranty, I mean, just to give you an idea how old some of them are, the bulk of what we have are HP 800G1s, which we have 54 of. The release date on those was back in the first quarter of 2014. So these PCs are already over 6 years old. So as far as technology wise goes, I mean, those things are really ancient history. And that's the bulk of it. And we have PCs that are older than that. Like I said, I mean, as far as keeping them up to date though, I mean, we try to keep things as much as possible. We don't actually dispose of PCs when we don't have to, because again, just like Chris Howe does, we try to cannibalize things and try to make them all last as long as they can.
Explain Windows 7 and the cost for that, for keeping it up to speed.
Yes, okay, so there's also the other issue with a lot of the older PCs. A lot of those are Windows 7 PCs. Windows 7, I don't know how well some of you follow technology, but support for Windows 7 ended back in January 2020, this year. There is a cost to do extended support for it, which is, this is one of the reasons why IS, you know, wanted to do the replacements. For every PC this year, it would be $50 per device to keep security updates on it. And I'm sure you guys are aware of, you know, how important security updates are, especially in this day and age. Next year, that price goes up to $100 per device. And the following year, it would go up to $200 per device. So I mean, that price goes just insane in a quick amount of time.
And again, we're talking about 125 right now. We have 217 here. This is a 24/7 operation. Those computers are running. The majority of them are working 24 hours a day. I have 7 substations and 13 jail housing units, plus intake and classification. So these computers need upgrading. It's in the budget. I just wanted to let you know, I know there was a question about them yesterday and why does the sheriff's office have so many. I also sent a breakdown of where all these desktops are located and their purposes.
Right, I appreciate that. And it wasn't so much the fully questioned, it was more of where were they going, because we just had a bulk amount. And I don't think it was really a major concern. There's a trust that IT knows when computers need to be replaced. So, but thank you for providing just a little bit more background detail. So those are your two priority areas, but with Black Creek being the top one in terms of things that weren't funded that you really feel you need. Do any other legislators have questions for the sheriff? Legislator Haynes?
You know, quite honestly, I disagree. I do think the computers had definitely drew a lot of attention. That's just my opinion. And with that being said, can you explain to me or to anyone that might be listening, I know you sent the list out, but in this meeting, I can visualize myself walking through the law enforcement building and seeing these computers everywhere. I mean, what typically, like those control rooms have what, how many in each control room? Several?
Yes. I'll let Frank talk about that, but just to give you an idea what some of the computers are used for, as you know, in the pistol permit section, when we issue pistol permits, those pictures and cards are made on some of those computers. The same thing when you come into this building and you need access into this building. We have certain computers that are used for that. You know, two of these computers that we just bought this year for discovery had to be, that we're talking two computers at $8,000 because of the storage and how quick, you know, to move how long it takes to move that. We had to get game size or game type PCs for that. I don't know what the term is.
It's more of a workstation.
Right. It's more of a workstation for that. But those computers, you would have, obviously the bosses all have computers myself. Not only do I have my desktop, I also have a laptop that I take when I go anywhere because I have to pay the bills and answer emails on a regular basis. But what was that? But I'm going to let Frank talk a little bit about where all these PCs are and why they're so many.
Yeah, sure. Again, I mean, we do have a lot of different systems. I mean, as far as, like for example, with Pistol, you do have, you know, the Pistol Merits application. You got stuff that interfaces with the state. You also have, you know, our law enforcement record system.
Live scan.
We've got live scan.
Intake.
You know, and some of those have different modules and they need separate things. Plus we've also got our vehicle tracking system. We've got stuff for the arbitrator, for the video, you know, for the body cams, for the dash cams.
License plate readers,
things like that. And a lot of these, we need systems, you know, that are dedicated strictly for some of these, just to begin with, on top of what we have for the personnel to be able to do their normal duties.
Yeah.
I have one question.
I'm just going to say, I appreciate, and we have the whole list and we'll make sure that the people in the other committee, Ways and Means, gets a copy of that list of where they're all going.
One other point of clarification, do any of the inmates have access to desktop computers? Are there areas, common areas, workstations that they, or is it strictly tablets?
Well, they do have tablets, but they also have access to, the library. They have computers that are assigned in the pods, and I believe it's two per pod that they have access to the law library. And other specialized training, like we get the folks that come in when they were able to come in from OSHA literacy, and we have computers that they use for that. Any type of special programs that come in, we utilize those computers that are in those pods for that purpose.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for the sheriff or Chris?
Just the sheriff, if I might. Sheriff, if we had to bite the bullet, instead of repairing Black Creek, it appears like on a regular basis, what would it cost to move into the 21st century?
Chris, are you still on?
Sure. Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
I'm going to, you know, a rough estimate on a full systems upgrade is probably $1.5 million. We're probably going to double what the what the proposal for the partial systems upgrade is at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And how long would that type of full upgrade last versus a partial upgrade?
We're still looking at, you know, 4 to 5 year range before we had to start thinking about the upgrade again. So, I mean, this one, we did a partial upgrade in 2011, and we've been requesting it for a couple of years. So probably, you know, a 6, 7, 8 year before the equipment starts to get to the point where it just, you know, we can't keep fixing.
And if you look at that number for maintenance to update to keep the upkeep, it's about 25,000, $50,000 a year. And if we get that upgrade done, that number gets reduced to about 20,000 in maintenance fees a year. That's a huge number if you add the years up that the system hasn't been upgraded.
Any other questions?
May I just interrupt 1 minute? It's Stephanie from the Public Defender.
Sure.
Just another thing to take into account with regards to computers in the jail is that actually the public defender's office needs to have, there has to be computers where the inmates are able to review their digital evidence, their digital discovery. So we were able to do that when we were able to go into the pods with them. I don't know how old those are. I don't know if they need to be upgraded, but that's critical for us to be able to work with our clients in the prison.
Great. Thanks. Sheriff, do you know if any of those are included in that list?
Yes, I believe that when we talked about the 125 is to upgrade a lot of those systems. I'm not sure those are specifically for those, more toward the operational side of it, but I'm sure we can look into that.
Great. And I apologize. I actually have to leave the meeting. I just wanted to know if there's any other questions for me from the public defense.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Thank you so much.
So anything else for the sheriff or for the district attorney while he's here that you might have thought of that you hadn't thought of before? And Laura, you're welcome to, if you have any questions, or Jonathan. Heidi, did you have another question? Oh, sorry. Sheriff, did you have something else to add?
I just wanted to add my question after being in office here for a year and 9 months. I've ran budgets before in the Marine Corps for many, many years. And my question is about the process. And forgive my naivety, perhaps I can learn a little bit more. As an elected official, once the budget is passed from the legislature, I find it quite interesting that I have to again go through the process of getting approvals through the county after the budget was already passed, and to include asset forfeitures that are not taxpayer money. And I'm not complaining about it. I just find it the extra step is just a little much. Is that the usual process? Is there a way we can streamline that process? Because I find it that once I, you know, when I was in the military, once once I got approved for the funds for the following year and I attached the receipts and covered why they were there, going through a second process again through another elected office, to me, is a little much.
So I'm going to defer to one of the more senior legislators, if they have anything, either John or Laura or Heidi. Heidi Staker said no already, so.
Well, I kind of think that when the sheriff's budget is approved, he administers it. It's sort of money in the bank, unless it's something extremely extraordinary. I don't exactly know what you're talking about, Sheriff, but if you wanted to buy 5 cars, you have to go through the process of the bid process, but pretty much it's your call.
Thank you.
Legislator Haynes?
I'm just a little bit confused on where the sheriff's having his issue, but if he wants to talk about this.
So I gave back 3/4 of, $500,000 in equipment, and I find myself, even though that it's already approved in a budget, constantly walking sometimes And it's just a process, I'm sure, that it takes such a long time, and I have to get approvals through the county executive's office, even though the budget was approved by the legislature, and it's the sheriff's budget.
So, I mean, I think that if you're experiencing these delays on the executive level of things that are approved in the budget, you should certainly let us know. I don't know if Legislator Heppner or Legislator Petit, do you have anything to add? I'm wondering if there
is. Yeah, I had to mute myself. Yeah, generally, I mean, you need to go through the budget approval process, which is what we're doing right now. But there's checks and balances in government. So even though you've been provided a budget, when you do go out to make a purchase over a certain amount, there is the procurement process, and that's where you would need to go and get signatures or further approval from the legislature. Does that make sense? So it's more of the state procurement policy than anything else.
And I realize that's not really my question. I would, you know, and this is a unique year, so maybe I should hold off and direct this to the county. It is a unique year because of COVID-19, you know, it just seems to me there seems to be an extra step that I seem to be going through. And as an elected official, getting from the legislature, going through, and I know that the county exec is the chief financial officer of the county, and he has his role, and there is a checks and balances. But it just seems to me that sometimes it's again, going back to my military days, there seems to be an extra process here. And I'm not saying that's always the norm, but it's not always the norm. But I seem to feel sometimes a pinch coming from the county executive's office at some point. We do work these things out. I just find it, you know, this is a big job here, and there's a lot of things that go on. And having the extra step, I believe it, in some instances when I approve it, then that should be enough. If you gave me authority from the legislature to run my budget.
So, I mean, I have heard this from other departments of elements that they expected were approved that are not moving forward as they would expect in terms of implementation in that given year. And I think that's something that it's worth, you know, we can bring it back to the legislature to talk about how that process works. I think what I'm hearing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is there a way, if an approved item doesn't seem to be moving forward through the executive's office to the legislature, that a department could take other steps to ensure that the legislature knows that there is this stalemate or this lack of movement? And is that what you're basically asking?
With all due respect, I think he's a duly elected official with a budget to operate for operations. And I don't want to speak out of line for the sheriff because he's done a good job explaining it for himself. But I think he feels as though once he's approved for these budgetary items, he should be able to execute it as he finds necessary.
No, I agree. Yes, we are absolutely agreeing. That's what I understand it too. I guess the next step was, so what is the process if that's not what's happening? What is the process if it's feeling like it's being held up in the executive's office? And so that what he should be able to do as a duly appointed official, elected official, if the reality doesn't match the process as it should be, what is the step? What next step would the sheriff do or the DA do or something like that? I think is what I'm hearing you want to know, like from the legislative perspective. Is that correct?
That's right.
So I think we need to have that conversation.
And the only reason why I bring it up, my own fiscal people have never seen it like this before. I can also say, though, that is a unique year. You know, we had COVID-19 in the county, and I realize and I understand that. And look, you know, saving taxpayers money if there's something unnecessary, and it has come up in the past, and I look at it, I'm like, you know what, you're right, we're going to relook at that. And I don't have a problem with that. I just feel that I have to explain myself over and over again for certain things that are needed at this office for the public safety of this county. That's what I'm concerned about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for anyone? I really appreciate you all giving this extra time for this conversation. I think we learned a lot of important things that we should regroup on. Heidi, I don't know if some point offline you and I should just connect and talk about this a little bit. But yes, thank you all. And I know that there's another meeting at 6:30, so you have 10 minutes to get up and stretch. Bye. Thank you.
Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second that, Haynes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.